a true minister of the word. Because a medical doctor doesn't have to prepare to treat. The doctor tell you, wait, I'm coming, let me go and read the book before I come to treat you. So if you say, let me go and read, you are not living what you are preaching. Okay? So they should be able to call you at any time and just hand the mic and you take off. All right then. Our first session this afternoon, the second session will be Dr. Crawford-Dola. The first session will be Pastor Shola Oshumakinde. All right? He's the senior pastor of House of David Church at Ikeja. Okay? And you could also say he's call up young men. I think he's the first young minister I called up to come and share. I think so. Ever at Wafbeck that I said he should come. So he's the opener of the door now. So they should come and pay homage to you. Let's rise to our feet and welcome Pastor Shola Oshumakinde.
Somebody give God praise. Wow, what a privilege to be here again this afternoon. Let me start by appreciating Pastor. You know, you've been having ministers in this conference. My own case is different. I am not a guest minister. I'm actually a member of the Covenant Nation. I'm in the protocol department. If you haven't been seeing me, you know everybody has been working remotely. And then before then, I was in the secret service of the protocol department. So, let's appreciate Pastor for you this afternoon. He's a mentor, he's a pastor to some of us, and it's been a very great blessing to us. I listen to his messages a lot, and sincerely, I know he loves me. You know, Pastor is a bit difficult to fully understand. Somebody told me that he's an enigma. But this is a man of God with a shepherd's heart, and this relationship that some of us have with him for over 10 years, I remember very well that one while back at the National Stadium, I was called out to take offering. You know, he just walked up to me where I was, somewhere, maybe 7th row, and I was flying my shirt. Said, please, talk in, go and bring you up. You are taking the offering. And then one day, I was going to buy Martina here, or one of the... And then he said, hey, he met me outside. You are speaking for 30 minutes. I died inside. And again, sir, we love you, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. You are a voice of our generation. You are a voice of our generation. And I don't know of anybody that people from different denominations, from different churches listen to like Pastor Boju. And we thank God for that. A teacher sent from God. And we said this afternoon, let me appreciate the first lady. Pastor Toyin, thank you so much. A woman of love. I love you so much. Yes. Thank you, ma. Thank you for everything. Hallelujah. We appreciate you, ma. Thank you. God bless you, ma. Amen. Before we take our seat, let's just read this very wonderful scripture. The Bible says in Romans chapter 9, let me also salute members of Covenant Nation. You people can receive the word. I don't know of any conference anywhere with this number of word sessions. And then so many people here again this afternoon to receive the word again. I believe that the Spirit of God is going to do something very amazing this afternoon. Romans 9:15 Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, for he says to Moses, now this is God talking, are we have mercy, on whom are we have mercy? And are we have compassion, on whom are we have compassion? When we talk about faith, when we talk about prayer, when we talk about power, when we talk about many things, one of the things that people don't factor in is the fact that God is sovereign. The sovereignty of God sits above any other subject that you can bring from the word of God. So now the Bible is saying that as a result of the fact that I will have mercy on anybody I choose to have mercy on, then look at verse 16. Then the Bible says, so then it is not of him who wills. Even though the Bible says if you are willing and obedient, you eat the fruit of the land. But the Bible says it is not of him who wills, nor of him who wrongs. It's not by wrongs. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, but of God who shows mercy. Even though people are expected to be willing, people are expected to run, believers, but the Bible says, at the end of the day, the outcome per se is not so much of the wrongs and the willingness, it's more of one factor. It is of God who shows mercy. Hallelujah. How do you win a game that the rule says winning does not depend on your skillfulness or your ability, but it depends on the goodwill of the referee? Then it becomes absolutely necessary to seek to please the referee. Because at the end of the day, it's not about how good you can play. See, Paul can plant, Apollo can water. 1 Corinthians 3:6, but it is God who gives the ink, whatever is planted by Paul, watered by Apollos. If God's factor is not there, it is nothing. So you are supposed to plant and water, but at the end of the day, there is another factor. And this is what this conference is all about. I want to show you something. We are going to some very deep things this morning within the short time that I have. Amen. No wonder Paul saw it and he said that having received this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not. Because ministry outside mercy will make a man faint. And this is where envy, anger, jealousy, they all come from, because it is not of him that wrongs. So Paul said that having, when a man receives ministry, anything from God, and he does not receive mercy, you are going to faint. That is why, before I ask you to see, there is a scripture that we will dwell on a bit. And I want us to look at this together. So many glorious things will happen this afternoon. Amen. Pastor Andy started it, and so many speakers. God, the presence of the Holy Ghost is quite strong here. Yeah? And the atmosphere is very supercharged. Now look at this, look at this. I want to read something. I will ask us to sit after now. Exodus 25. I want us to read this together. Maybe some years back or a while ago, God showed me this through a minister of the gospel. And I want everybody to pay attention to this word. I was reading and I saw it. I said, oh my God. Listen. We will get there anyway. What made Lot to recognize those two angels as angels? Other people saw them as ordinary men. In Genesis 19 verse 16, the Bible says God being so merciful to him. In other words, what helped Lot to recognize that those guys were not ordinary guys, that they were angels, at the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah, was the fact that God had mercy on him. And it will show us in a while that God opening the eyes of your understanding, what triggers it is praying for mercy. If I arrange my thoughts anyhow today, don't worry. Are you following me? Before we read Exodus, are you following me? In 1 Samuel 15, verse 32, as David was running away from town, everybody was following him. The Bible says Moses, David got to the mountain where he used to worship, and Hushai was coming. Now, David just prayed. He said, God, somebody just said that Ahithophel, sir, is one of the conspirators. He said, Lord, help me turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Now, we pray many times, but we don't recognize answers when they come. The first session I did in Wildbeck ever in my life, I spoke at length about this. That if your eyes are not open, and what I'm trying to say this afternoon, that the opening of our eyes is a function of the mercy of God falling on us. But if your eyes are not open, you will pray, but you will not recognize answers. Many times, the Bible says in Acts 15, 18, know not to God at all his works before the foundation of the earth. God does not begin to work when you pray. Many times, prayer gives you understanding to see what God has done already. Did you get that? If you remember first WAPEC, I spoke and learned about this. So the ram that Abraham used for sacrifice didn't just come. Abraham's eyes, God opened his eyes to see the ram. The water that Jesus turned to wine were not just, they just didn't fetch the water. It was there. But Jesus recognized, said, go fetch and give it to the man. And you're going to see this again and again. They go to the bitter water of Mira. And the tree that cured the river was the tree that was growing beside it. When Samson was surrounded by 1,000 men, the jawbone he used was there before the men arrived. You are going to see all through the Bible these things. Before they got hungry in the wilderness, a boy already brought 5 loaves and 2 fish. The disciples said, let them go away. Jesus said, they don't need to go anywhere. The answer is right here. It is true that there is always a miracle in your desert. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. But let me call our attention to this. David got to that place and he just prayed that, Lord, do something about Ahithophel. And then he saw Hushai. And he said to Hushai that, you are not going to follow me. At that time, he needed people around him because there was going to be a battle. And it's about number. And David said, no, you are not going to follow me. He said, go to the palace and defeat the council of Ahithophel for me. That guy got to the palace truly, and Ahithophel just gave a counsel that would have made David to sink. And Hushai said, no, that counsel is not good. But how did David know that of all the people following me, this one should not follow me, should go back to the palace? The Bible says he got to the mountain where he worshiped. I'm going to explain the role of worship in this. But let's read. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you with me? Let's read. Exodus 25. I want to start from 21. I would have loved to start from 10. Or let's start from 10, but I will skip. And then I will tell us to see it. Let's start from verse 10. The Bible says, from verse 10, thou shalt make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half. Pay attention to the description of the size. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof. 1 cubit and a half shall be the breadth thereof. 1 cubit and a half shall be the height. Next verse. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without. Now, he said, take a wood, but cover it with gold, and then make a crown around it, verse 12. And thou shalt cast off, verse 13. Thou shalt make staff, 14. Thou shalt put the staff in the ring, 15. Let's go down, 16. 17. Shall put the testimony, we might come down. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Now, he said, the ark, make a wood and cover it with gold. In other words, 2 materials, wood and gold. But then he said that for the mercy seat, it must be pure gold. Gold in the Bible is a kind of divinity, wood, humanity. So for the ark of covenant, you are the ark and the testimony is inside you. So it's a combination of wood and gold, the anointing of mortality. So Paul said mortality will be swallowed up by life. Are you getting me? But about mercy seat, pure gold. Because that talks about God and God alone. Now, here is the instruction that Moses was given by God. Verse 18. Now, you shall make, if you look at the dimension of the mercy seat, for time I know, the same dimension of the ark, the same dimension, the same. Both the ark and the mercy seat, the same dimension. 2 and a half, 1 and a half, 1 and a half. The same dimension. Now, God said something to Moses, verse 19. Make 1 cherub, let them face another with their wings touching, and they must be looking down the mercy seat. Now, verse 20. I'm actually going to 21. They shall spread their wings, looking at one another towards the master's seat. Verse 21. Now, this is a very powerful instruction. When this meeting is over, God led pastor to give this powerful topic. The power of God's mercy. The speed that many people where we experience. In everything. Now, let's look at it. Thou shalt put the master's seat above the ark. Pay attention. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee and come with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim. God told Moses, inside the ark, the testimony that I give you. Have you met people before who have told you that they received a word from God, confessed it, and nothing happened? It is because of a missing factor. God told Moses that I gave you the testimony, I gave you. But this is what you do with testimony. Even though it is given to you by me, you must put the testimony under the mercy seat. In other words, confessing without mercy. Have your seat for a while. Are we? Is somebody with me this afternoon? Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God told Moses, he said, whatsoever testimony I have given you. Testimony talks about the confession of the word. It talks about the word, the scripture you have received. He said, this must be the pattern. Put the testimony inside the ark, which is inside you, your heart and your mouth. But both are your mouth or heart subjected to one thing. He said, take the ark of covenant, put it under the mercy seat. For the voice you are going to hear will be from above the mercy seat. I will speak to you from there. When there are testimonies and they are not put under the mercy seat, I have met, you know, I like to ask questions. I have met Christians who have lived all their life confessing and confessing. I have seen pastors confessing growth in church, confessing and confessing until they got frustrated. I have seen people confessing and confessing. It is because it is not of him that runs or the one that wills. It is of God that shows mercy. No matter what, no matter what testimony, what word given, if mercy is not in the equation, there will still be a problem. Hallelujah. But where I'm going this morning is to show there are many dimensions, but I'm going to mention three things. Three very important aspects of what we are talking about this morning or this afternoon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Is somebody following me? Are you with me this morning? Then the Lord or this afternoon. Why am I saying morning? Then the Lord specifically told Moses, so this is the order. I won't go into this part, but something from it we learn because of the third thing I'm going to speak about. Moses told Aaron, anytime you are going into that place, you see, when you talk about the holiest place on earth, then, in the then world under the old covenant, you will talk about Israel. They were the chosen people by God. And then inside Israel, you will talk about Judah. Inside Judah, you will talk about Jerusalem, the holiest city. And what made Jerusalem holy was the fact that the tabernacle was there, the outer curtain and there. And then what made the tabernacle special? Because the ark was there, or the mercy seat. So you can say that the most important thing in the tabernacle of Moses was the mercy seat. That mercy seat made the tabernacle the most important place, which made the city the most important city. So when you are talking about new covenant, according to the book of Hebrews, now there is still in heaven the mercy seat of the Father, and it is the most important place of all. It is there we obtain mercy. When Paul saw it, or whoever wrote Hebrew, because they dispute about the writer of Hebrew, said that, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy. It is necessary. And now I want to show you the practical part of it. How exactly do we enter into this? The man that first, you know, I was listening to a man one day and he was talking about the fact that For years, he considered over and over again what God told him, and it looked like they were far from what was happening around him. And he said one day in the place of prayer, the Spirit of God spoke to him that you have not specifically asked me for mercy. It's beyond forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go. Number one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Moses told Aaron, if you are inside that place, God said, you must offer incense and the smoke must cover you. He said, if that does not happen, you die. In other words, one of the protocols of coming into my presence, we God told Aaron, there must be smoke, there must be incense, there must be smoke all around you. The smoke must cover the mercy seat so that when you are there, your life is preserved and you are protected. What does this mean under the old, new covenant? And how do we walk in this? So when we talk about mercy, there are three important things. There might be more, but I will talk about three. Number one, when the mercy of God will flow to a man, a believer, you must assume a posture that clearly shows that outside God's mercy, you are helpless. See, what we call, at times, your ability to fast can be your pride. When we talk about the arm of the flesh, it's not only physical things. Somebody can begin to, your confession can be what you so much, and Jesus says, search the scripture. In them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me. Who gave the scripture in the first place? God. But you see, you can so much get engrossed with the scripture that you leave the God of the scripture behind. There is, that at that level, it becomes letters to you and the spirit is absent. So Jesus said that, yeah, I gave you the scripture. He said you can search and you will not come to me. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There must be. So something happened in Babylon. Daniel chapter 2. And then the king dreamt and he forgot about the dream. What makes God to do this in the first place? Psalm 147 verse 11 says, I want to read something about this. Now, we need to know the kind of heavenly Father we are dealing with. Pastor Andy read the scripture and said, God, who is rich in mercy, it is what he wants to give out at all times. While preparing, while praying about this meeting, and this is what the last part we are going to get into. Listen to me. Some pray about marriages that are not working. They pray, God, change this man, change that. Many times, all you need to pray for is mercy. In life, we make a lot of wrong decisions. Psalm 147. The Bible says, the Lord take... I want us to read this together. Everybody, one, two, go. Once your hope is in God's mercy, there is a kind of delight it gives God. A kind of pleasure it gives him. That's what the Bible is saying. He gets excited when he finds out that a believer depends on nothing. Because sincerely, before God, we are all naked and we have nothing. And then, once you try to prove a point before God, and that point can be the number of scriptures you know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 verse 23, he has fed the hungry and he sent the rich home empty and dead. Because nobody brags before God. Hallelujah. Nobody brags before the king. So when you approach him, he takes pleasure in an attitude that suggests that you have no other plan other than him. And that you totally depend. See, it is the reason why it looks like God moves for many Christians when they are there with end. It's not that God is planning for you to go to your end and then do like African magic, show up suddenly. It is because people wait till they get down, down, down. When there's no other thing they can depend on, then they turn to God. In his mercy, he will still respond, but that doesn't have to happen. Glory to God. When they said that they dream, the king dreamt. You know, kings, you know, they had all kinds of power. Dreamt and forgot the dream. Who asked you to dream? And they asked you to forget. Then he said that all the wise men in Babylon must die. For he said, tell me the dream and the, and Daniel. Hi. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. I started searching. I got born again when I was in Jesus Christ, through scripture, you know. And immediately we started praying for a long time and all those things. And they were following missionaries. And then a group of missionaries went to a particular village. They said they were demonic stuff there, and they were trying to cross over to go and preach there. And their boat turned and they all died. And I began to ask questions. Daniel was a man of God who lived in holiness. Chapter 1, the Bible says, verse 8, Daniel proposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with king's food. But when the announcement was made, I want to say, somebody's hearing me. See, when there are global issues, like one going on, then what believers do at times, that we begin to say our own opinion, we don't go to the place of prayer to get. Look at the prayer that Daniel prayed. As soon as they announced that all wise men were going to die, Daniel did not say that, I am Hebrews, I cannot take an apple to me, this one. I will say this here, I remember very well. When the pandemic started, not that they told me, I was watching on TV, the only person I heard who gave an accurate word was Baba Deboye. I remember that I was watching and he said, as soon as they find the cure for one, another one will come out. And I saw the beginning of how he started it. He said, when they started talking about COVID, he said, I went to cry to God. And he said, Daddy told me point blank. Many other people were saying their opinion. Now it is Mark or the beat, it is this one. I'm not saying this and I'm not saying that, please. I'm just saying that people were. But the one who went to the Father. So now Daniel did something. Look at the direction of Daniel's prayer. Daniel 2:18. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 18. Let's start from 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Ananias, Meshach, Azariah, and his companions that they would desire what? Concerning these secrets. Huh? All secrets are, you just need mercy. There is a situation in the office. It is not to pray, Lord, remove this or do that. It is to pray that, Lord, mercy. It's a prayer that is multifaceted. It's a man. It's not one request. It's a way to pray. It's a kind of praying using capsule. I saying you are praying many things together. When you say, Lord, have mercy, it means that the limitation of your understanding about the matter will not be factored in. It is God's full understanding that will come to play. Once a man kneels before the Maker and he says, you know what? All I need is mercy. You know that what I'm saying is that you know everything about this situation. You know, you can sit over a board, be part of a board in a board meeting, and just give a suggestion, an opinion that will make them to sack somebody or make them not to employ somebody. We all do it. There's a prayer we'll pray after this meeting. But then the king has set a law in motion. Whatsoever a man sows, when you slap somebody, whatsoever a man sows, you have already given out a seed that the harvest must be that you shall be slapped severally. Now, when it is time for someone to slap you and you say, God, intervene, you are asking him to be unjust. The only way he can legally step in. Isn't God's mercy great? If you marry for any wrong reason, you have set a law in motion. If someone's parents, they were busy maltreating other people's children growing up, and those people cry to God, there is a law set in motion. If a person breaks a church, insults the leaders, and later he says he has a call and he's starting one, a law has been set. You will be asking God to be unjust. When it is time for you to receive the harvest of what you have, now you're asking that, Lord, I don't want it. The only way he can intervene is for you to say, Lord, have mercy. Are you hearing me this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, Daniel started praying that, let's ask God. And the Bible says, and the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Brothers, and sisters, secrets are still being revealed. In a night vision, Daniel assumed that, Lord, you see, I am Daniel. I am times 10 better than others here, but that is not a factor right now. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, guys, we need to pray. And there is only one prayer, mercy, so that we don't perish with the rest. Do you want to know how many Christians have died with this COVID? No matter the factor you talk about. What about when bandits are killing people? Are there not Christians being killed every day? But there is something about when people begin to pray for mercy. Hallelujah. So Daniel got it. That position, that posture must be there. That I open your mercy. I depend on you. And brother, can I tell you the truth? This should be a daily thing that you do. Honestly speaking, this is the whole essence of worship. Worship is more than singing. Worship is coming before somebody, acknowledging that, see, it's all about you. Because you are sovereign. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I came for the opening night, I heard when pastor said that, mention somebody with an unusual word of knowledge, that gift, and you can't even tell where the person is today. When I was in school, I saw a lot of that also. Guys who will appear and then you will see wonders of heaven. And 4 or 5 years after that, you can't see them again. It is not of him that run it. Glory to God. It is not Old Testament prayer to pray every day for mercy. Paul said, come to the throne of grace, obtain mercy. And Paul said, I have not received mercy with faint lungs. It's a daily thing. I'm going to end by talking about the place of the blood of Jesus, what he has done for us. Because that is the highest demonstration of the mercy of God. Yes, are you following me?
Yes,
that posture. The second thing is what is called the principle of alignment. You see, some things will happen by your own prayer life and your confession. Some things will happen because on the ground that you stand. In other words, the lineage you belong to. God told Abraham that I will multiply your descendants at the stars of heaven. But till Abraham died, he only had 8. Genesis 25, Keturah gave birth to 6. Sarah had 1. Agai had 1. 8. The whole multiplication took place with his grandson. So Isaac himself had just 2. There are words that have gone ahead of you. Some men have prayed and God has decided to show them mercy. That mercy will extend to the next generation. Because God is a transgenerational God. Now, this works so much in ministry, but it works in every aspect also. When God appeared to Solomon, he told Solomon that everything I'm doing it because I spoke to your father. Your father. Yes, David. I did not talk to you, Solomon, about building me a temple. I told your father, and I am committed to it because I told your father. It was the principle of alignment that made Abraham's servants to enjoy God's mercy. Genesis 24. He was supposed to go and marry a woman a woman marrying a man that she had never seen before. But the woman agreed to go. When the servant wanted to pray, when he saw that where he went to, number one, he got to a well by chance, only to find out the first lady coming was the very lady he was looking for. And he said that God has not left my master destitute of his mercies. Now, that guy did not know God directly. What was working for him was that he aligned with Abraham. This is very deep. My time is running. And I like to keep to time. As blessed are those who keep to time, for they shall be invited again. You haven't read that in the Beatitude. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. The principle of alignment. There is so much to say about that, stories from the Bible. But I just stop on Solomon and David. Because God spoke to David, Solomon continued. Many people don't know. Paul said that you are all partakers of my grace. Where you worship, who you worship under, matters a lot. There are things that God has said to pastor. Members of this church, we enjoy some things. Not because of their prayer life only, but because of the family you belong to. When a man, like pastor in charge, has been shown mercy by God, all those who are connected to him will be partakers of that mercy. Even though they might not receive directly from God what God has said, but because they are lying. And the third one is the one I want to end with. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Oh God. It's been talked about a lot here. Joy. Hebrews 12:29. The Bible says, let us serve God in an acceptable manner. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom we cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably. It is not enough to serve God. At the end of worship and service, what we receive is mercy. But see, it is not enough to serve. What God demands is to serve him in an acceptable manner. Let me show you something from Deuteronomy 28:47. Check something from there. Deuteronomy 28:47. Now look at what the Bible says. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Next verse. Therefore shalt thou serve thy enemies. Joy is not an option in this race. It's a compulsory course. You know what? At times, more compulsory than prayer. The Bible says, so first part says that serve God in an acceptable manner. Bible will always answer Bible. And the Bible says that this is the acceptable manner. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. No, you should do that. Practice scripture. Verse 2. Serve the Lord. Can you see that thing again? With gladness. Come before his presence singing. I want to read something to us. Psalm 59. Maybe I will stop here. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and my refuge in the day of trouble. Verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense, the God of my mercy. Many times when you see mercy in the Bible, you always see singing around it. You are not God, I'm not God. A man thinks you are serious when you look serious. For instance, if you come to a person's house to announce that you just lost a loved one and you are saying it smiling, they either think you are crazy or something is wrong. Now, the Bible says, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man. There is a possibility of us treating God the way we treat men. So we begin to also think that when we come before God and you bone, he will know that you are serious. Unfortunately, the flesh is always against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. God believes you are serious when you are laughing. He believes you are unserious when you are boning. So, do you know how many people come into his presence? Not singing. How many people come into his presence? And this is the one who is rich in mercy. And that mercy you desperately need. And he's just looking at you. It is very clear how he wants to be approached. He doesn't want anybody approaching him looking serious. Come into his presence with singing. Aye. Serve the Lord with gladness. Whether you are an usher, protocol, whatever you do in the house of God, we don't just do it, we do it joyfully. When joy is absent, there might be a problem. Remember Isaiah 12:2-3. With joy you draw water out of the well of salvation. I grew up in Abeokuta, and they used to have wells, not the type you have in Lagos. You will dig deep, so deep. One thing about well, unlike tap water or like river, is that if you get to a tap and you don't have a cup, you can still manage to drink. You can drink from a river without a cup, without a fetcher. But when it comes to a well, the water is so deep that you have to throw down a fetcher. Now, the Bible says, with joy, you draw water out of the well. The availability of the well of salvation is not a guarantee that you will taste in it. There is a fetcher, and that fetcher is joy. Believers don't know what happens in the spirit realm when you want to pray and you start by shouting. It does not make sense to a natural man why you run up and down your sitting room. But in the realm of the spirit, shall we rise? As we pay attention to these three things, there might be more, but that is where I'm stopping. As we pay attention to these three things, a posture that shows that God outside you. So that is the reason when the moment something happens, you go and pray. Rebecca had the two babies fighting inside her womb. She went to make an inquiry. We talk many times. At times we quote the scripture that we think we should begin to quote. From Papa Egil to that, I've read too many testimonies of them doing the same thing, but the Spirit of God correcting them. We begin to quote. We begin to address the issue the way we think we should address them. But the first thing to do is to ask for mercy, which will produce life. Come back, and then nothing. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, praying about 6 hours every day. And the pastor I'm actually talking about is myself. Pray. And then we'll get to church and the number will reduce by half. And then, why praying for mercy? All of a sudden, for the first time, this scripture came alive. I've been quoting it. The Lord said, I was praying. What I was saying before about putting the word given to you under mercy. Why praying one day, he gave me a word as the host of heaven that cannot be numbered and the sound of a seed that cannot be measured. He said, that is what I want to do in this church. Fine. But I quoted that scripture. My mouth almost, if you're asking, I gave everybody in the church a paper of that confession. See, we do a lot of acrobatics because we will not go and ask for mercy. Why worshiping and praying for mercy? It just showed me something very little. You fast from Monday to Sunday, you'll see half of the population, you'll get angry. You'll preach, but you are not happy at the people you are seeing. Just a simple thing. He said, let me show you what you are not seeing in the scripture you've been quoting all your life. And he said, as the host of heaven that cannot be numbered. He said it three times, that cannot be numbered. That cannot be numbered. Why are you numbering the people? I called all the ushers, stop counting. Till now we don't count. All we know is that we always have been over. We don't count, we stop counting completely. I was quoting that scripture. How many words are you quoting every day? You built it into your confession, but you have not asked for mercy to see that inside that same word, there is something you are not seeing. Remember Joshua 1:8. The book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth. Yes. Thou shalt meditate on it. Diana. People don't see what he's saying. Thou shalt meditate. Thou mayest observe to do. That means in confessing, after confessing for a while, what should follow is observation. That observation shows you something that you are saying, but you are not doing. And remember, miracles will always break at the point of doing something. Go fetch the water. Go dip yourself in Jordan. If your confession does not get to the point of instruction, nothing happens. And it is mercy that enables you to hear that instruction. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Lift up your hand, everybody. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. A perfect demonstration of God's mercy. The Bible says by his blood, every handwriting against us. I want us to do this practically. Within the 6 minutes I have left, I want us to do this. Many times, no weapon formed against us, every tongue that is against us in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Yes, we think we condemn them at times. Yes, we have to speak, but what do we say? You see, I just told you now that it is important to understand that God is not only a good father, he's also the righteous judge. What we speak that are hurting other people, they come back to us. Jesus clearly told them in the Bible, there is nothing like I do what? If I say something negative about Pastor Toyin when she's not there, I have set up a law in motion. There's nothing like I do what? They make tremendous impact. What make tremendous impact in the realm of the spirit? It is by the blood that we cancel the wrong words we have spoken against ourselves. Words of limitation. Then the ones we have spoken against other people. Somebody was going to be a blessing to somebody, then I made a comment and made the person to change his mind. What will happen is that the day somebody is considering me also, somebody is going to talk. Except I do one thing, I bring the blood of Jesus as God's mercy that will erase all what I've said. Also, when people have said things about me, regardless of what they are saying, I can neutralize the effect of their words by the blood. And this is what you should do regularly. Otherwise, voices. The king was looking for a man, and somebody said, I've seen the son of Jesse. A man skillful. Somebody can speak for you, and somebody can speak against you, and you are not even there. One day they were considering people for leadership, and somebody said something about a guy that everybody was satisfied with, and everybody on that table changed their mind straight away. Now, the guy didn't know why we called out the eventual and his name was not there. I just sat down where I was like, wow, tongues are powerful. But the blood is more powerful. Whether mistakes that my people before me have made, it's not, that's what people turn to and say, no, we just have the blood. But the blood must see. What people don't know is that how do we plead the blood? God clearly told them. He did not say in Exodus that they should put their hand. They put the blood in a basin, but they were not to splash it against the wall. He told them to look for one tree that David talked about in Psalm 51. Hyssop. You must dip hyssop into the blood. The blood can only be on your lintel, which is your mouth. You must use hyssop. Outside hyssop, there is nothing else. In other words, there is even a methodology to the application of the blood. Everybody shout loud. I believe. In the power of the blood of Jesus. Today, I speak in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood of Jesus, as a sign of God's mercy over my life, every word that I have spoken, knowingly and unknowingly, against my soul, at any point in time, I cancel it. By the power of the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's do the second part. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every word spoken against me. Every word hanging up there. Capable of limiting me. One way or the other. Whether by me. By any other person, thank God for the power that is in the blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, all such words are cancelled. My errors, my mistakes are corrected by the power of the blood of Jesus. Instead of judgment, I declare on the ground of the blood of Jesus, I receive mercy. Somebody give God praise. pray like this over and over and over again. Pray like this over and over and over again. Church, God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants to do. We have our part to play, yes, but Paul plants, Apollo waters. What matters is that it is God who gives the increase. When this conference is over, which is the theme, look for his mercy at all times. In worship, assume that posture. Then you are already in this church where the mercy of God is very strong. Get connected. Alignment works. And then be filled with joy at all times. He causes what is on the Father to come on you. When he sees somebody rejoicing before him, this is what he does. He decorates them with mercy. You see what others cannot see. Only God can show us our error. We are praying, breaking against walls many times. One correction from the Father shows you what you are missing. That's why we should pray for mercy. Lord, just show me lights. I assume I don't know. Only you can show me. And then he reveals. Even in your confession, he makes adjustments. And then almost immediately, you see the glory of God. God bless you.
Amen. Let's put our hands together for Pastor Shola.